Welcome to the podcast of the United Church of Bogotá. We are a Bible-based church ministering to the English-speaking community in Bogotá, Colombia. We invite you to join our diverse fellowship as we encounter God in worship and experience the impact of His grace on every part of our lives and in our world. To learn more, please visit our website at ucbogota.org.
Okay, let's look at the Word together. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10, Mark 10 verses 13 to 16. Mark 10, 13 to 16. We're studying these famous amen statements of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. Why are we doing that? It's because, like I said last week, when Jesus says amen, you and I ought to lean in because He is about to teach us something that is very important. What is that this morning? It's like a sign you may see on a little kid's bedroom door. No grown-ups allowed. No grown-ups allowed. Something strange started to happen in the early 2000s to adults. Successful business people, executives, started playing kickball. They replaced their briefcase for a roll of toilet paper to roll their fellow adult campers' cabin. They began to get into water balloon fights at places like Camp Getaway. If that didn't do it for you, then perhaps you would go to Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. Or maybe you would go to Disney World, but with no children. One of my favorites is a camp called the Ultimate Pajama Party Camp. That's where grown women wear pajamas all day and get into regular pillow fights. And just before bed, they stay up really late and they talk about boys at the Ultimate Pajama Party Camp. This movement was fascinating. It was called rejuvenating. Rejuvenating. It was a shocking thing then. It's not really that shocking anymore because we've lived with about 20 years of it. Rejuvenating is a term that was coined by author Christopher Noxon, who wrote the book Rejuvenile, Kickball, Cartoons, Cupcakes, and the Reinvention of the American Grown-Up. This is not just an American thing or a North American thing. If you go to other parts of the world, if you go to some parts of Asia, Japan, for example, to a major city center, it's common to see grown women and men, not paid, walking around dressed as their favorite anime character. We went to a baseball game last year in Japan, and we're sitting up in the nosebleeds, and we look over, and we see a man who's in his mid-60s, sitting all by himself, with the foam fingers and the tomahawks and dressed like a baseball player, head to toe, singing, dancing, jumping, behaving like a giddy little boy at his very first baseball game, rejuvenating. It was fascinating to see that, but why? Why the rejuvenile these days? And it's because of this reality. Being an adult with all the pressure to perform and take care of yourself and other people is really hard. It's tough. It's exhausting. And so the rejuvenile needs to escape from all that performance pressure, all the demands that come with adulting, and escape into childlikeness. And Jesus here in Mark 10 says, that's the spirit, actually. That's right on. Those intentions are exactly right because, listen, if you want to be in God's family, you're going to need to become a child again. You're going to need to become a child again. Amen, I say to you, no spiritual grown-ups are allowed in God's family. Now that's really shocking to hear, isn't it? No spiritual grown-ups, because we all think that we have to be grown up and big and independent and take care of ourselves. And Jesus is saying, none of that in my family. None of this, I'm a big boy now and I can do it all by myself. No, you need to become a spiritual kid again. Why, Jesus? Well, we find the answer to why as we discover more about the heart of Jesus and the heart of a child in Mark 10, 13 to 16. So I'm going to invite you to stand, and I'll go ahead and read this short passage. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Please be seated. This is God's word. Lord Jesus, would you, in the next 30 minutes we have together, take us in your arms and place your hand upon this and us and bless this moment. We want to grow toward you with Christ-like faith, and we know that comes from you. Would you give it to us, please, by your Spirit? Amen. So, this amen statement may feel a little familiar to you. At least the development of it, the context of it may seem familiar. Because just like last week, Jesus is doing big important things, right? He's this famous teacher. You look at the rest of chapter 10. Jesus is this famous teacher. He's got this massive following of people. Some opponents come in, some spiritual fancy pants, Pharisees come in and say, no, Jesus, they set a trap for him. Jesus makes quick work of their trap. You get all this power, strength, popularity, wit, intellectual victory, and then all of a sudden, little children. And that's really disorienting. And that's disorienting on purpose. Jesus is disorienting us and the disciples to teach us what is in his heart. And what's that? What is in his heart? Real love for children. And real frustration for those who get in the way of children coming to him. Verse 10 tells us, as you think about imagining the scene, verse 10 tells us that Jesus is in a home, someone's home. He and the disciples are debriefing his teaching on marriage and divorce. I want you to imagine being in the room with Jesus, on the edge of your seat, absolutely enthralled by Jesus' teaching, when all of a sudden you hear in the background murmuring that grows into chattering, that grows into giggling and babbling and crying, and mom saying, shh, 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 it's okay now, it's okay, and you wonder, what is that noise? And somebody looks, it's coming from outside, what do they see but crowds of moms and dads and probably older siblings carrying their little children to Jesus. It's a mass of babies and toddlers, according to Luke's description of this account. That had to have been a rowdy, messy, sticky, stinky, maybe fussy bunch of people interrupting your teaching time. The Baxleys threw a birthday party for their oldest boy, Silas, about 2 months ago, and it was awesome. They invited all kinds of little kids and families. They invited our family. Only here's the thing. It wasn't just your ordinary two-year-old birthday party, because Silas Baxley loves buses. And so they rented a Chiva for a bunch of babies and toddlers. and little kids. And you can imagine what it was like being at that birthday party. It was blazing hot that day because it was in December. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. There were little sweaty kids climbing everywhere. There are exhaust fumes coming into the bus. There's stop and go Bogota traffic that's slinging kids from one side of this Chiva bus to the other, honking horns, and then the music started. Baby shark, do 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 do. Baby shark, do do do, and on and on and on, it went. Imagine this private tutoring session with the greatest, most powerful teacher to have ever walked the earth, and there starts Baby Shark, and all the chaos of the Chiva birthday party. And how do the disciples respond? Look at the text, verse 13. Get out of here! Get out of here with all these kids. Get out of here. What are you doing here? We want the master to lay his hands upon our little children and to bless them. Really? You think that the master has time for little children? Get out of here. And you know when you're in a public place and you hear that scraping sound of a chair across the floor when somebody suddenly gets up? That's what I hear when Jesus realizes what's going on. Because he goes over to the disciples, verse 14. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." That word indignant there, this is the only time it shows up in the Greek New Testament. It's a compound word, two words, meaning much and grieved stuck together. Jesus was much grieved. I'm sorry to disturb this warm, cuddly image you may have of Jesus in your mind or from a storybook Bible, but Jesus is red hot angry. Righteous anger is burning in his divine heart right now. He's indignant. Why? Because the disciples are keeping little children from getting to him. Because the disciples were rebuking parents for doing what parents ought to do, which is bringing little children to Jesus. He's angry because the disciples thought that little children weren't important enough to experience Jesus. And that makes Jesus mad. Does it make you mad? Does it? I hope it does. I hope that the red-hot, righteous anger of Jesus burns in your heart when someone shushes a well-meaning mom who has her baby that's making noises in church. I hope that the red-hot, righteous anger of Jesus burns in your heart when you hear a church aim all of its content exclusively at the adults in the room, ignoring children as if they were an afterthought. I hope the red-hot, righteous anger of Jesus burns in your heart when you hear that little children come to church and get abused sometimes. I hope it burns in your heart when you hear that they get abused at all. I hope the red-hot, righteous anger of Jesus burns in your heart when you hear of high infant mortality rates all over the world. I hope that the red-hot, righteous anger of Jesus burns in your heart when you hear that Christians are doing nothing about abortion or about the systems of poverty that led that teen mom to consider aborting her baby in the first place. I hope the red-hot, righteous anger of Jesus burns in your heart when you hear of infanticide, when you hear of children being sold into slavery, when you hear of orphans staying orphans forever, because Jesus says, much grieved, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. Jesus is much grieved over this, and we should be too. But there's something that's underneath Jesus' righteous anger. What is it? It's love, isn't it? It's an overwhelming love for children. Jesus loves children. He shows up to that Chiva birthday party. He's having a good time. He's joining in the song. You know what? If you invite him, he will show up to that children's birthday party every single time, no matter how hot and sweaty and sticky, because Jesus loves to be surrounded by little children. I hope that a love for children melts your heart the way it melts Jesus' heart. It does. He says, the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Of course I love them. The kingdom of God belongs to them. Salvation, new life, they're at the center of all of this. God's ways and God's world belongs to such as these. And some of us have a theological tradition that says, whoa, Jesus belongs to such as these? These are babies and toddlers. These are little pagans. They're not old enough to make their own decisions and to walk the aisle and to commit their life to you. How can these little cute pagans belong to you and the kingdom belong to them? They're not old enough, Jesus. And Jesus knows the Old Testament. He played a part in writing the Old Testament. He shows up periodically throughout the Old Testament, and he gets an Old Testament way of thinking about this. Look, if these little children belong to my people, then they belong to me until they grow up and they prove otherwise. These belong to me, and I belong to them. What is Jesus doing? Well, he's affirming the value of children in general. Specifically, he's affirming the value of little children. And then beyond that, Jesus is highlighting the personhood, the spiritual potential dynamics of babies and toddlers. Children really can embrace Jesus mysteriously, however this works, from a very, very young age. Listen, children really can grow up and just always know Jesus as their Savior and always know that Jesus loves them no matter what. It really, really happens. There's such beautiful spiritual connectedness and potential in little covenant children, children growing up in the church. And that's what I pray for all of our kids in our church, everyone that walks through the store, that they would always know that Jesus loves them and that they belong to him. One pastor writes about the famous evangelist, Dwight L. Moody. You've probably heard of him, American evangelist. He had gotten back from a revival meeting to the house where he was being hosted, and he says something like, praise God for 2.5 conversions tonight. And the host kind of leans in and like, what, 2.5? Ah, I get it. You mean you had 2 adults and a child convert tonight? And he says, no. It was 2 children and an adult, because the children gave their whole lives and the adult only had half of his life left to give. That's the spiritual potential of little children. And if we really believe this, if we really believe that Jesus loves our children and dignifies the spiritual potential of our children, the personhood of our children, the church all across the world would look radically different. It wouldn't be as adult-centric. We'd be aiming right at those little ones, making sure that we can bring those little ones to him. Little ones to him belong would be the anthem of our church. And so, United Church, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's bring the little ones to Jesus. No matter the cost, no matter the inconvenience, the energy that it takes, the argument that you have just before going to church, no matter the cultural taboo that we're supposedly brainwashing our children, no matter the schedule, the studies, the soccer practice, the family event, let's bring our little children to Jesus. That was a long detour. I think it's an important detour, but it brings us back to our original idea that Jesus loves children. He loves children so much that he says, you see these little children? That's actually a model of biblical Christianity. Childlikeness is a model of what it means to be a real Christian. Look at verse 15. Truly I say to you, amen, I say to you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. What's he saying? There are no spiritual grown-ups allowed in God's family. What does he mean by this? Well, I want you to think for a bit about the difference between the heart of a child and the heart of an adult. Wine gets better with age. Humans, not so much, at least in this respect. When a human is born, he or she is completely helpless, useless too. But think about the life of a baby. From moment one, we are cute little blobs of human mass who can do nothing for ourselves. Someone else needs to feed us, needs to clean us, needs to care for us. We're born naked, we're born penniless, and nothing will happen unless someone else does it for us. We're completely dependent on someone else, right? And so the heart of a child screams from day one, I can't do anything without you. What about the heart of an adult? We're in charge of forming that heart, and from an early age, what do we do but teach little children that they need to be independent, that they need to feed themselves, they need to dress themselves, they need to clean themselves, they need to think for themselves and eventually provide for themselves, take care of themselves, move away, live by themselves or with someone else. But the point is this, your mom and dad aren't going to be around and you're going to have to do it yourself. And so the heart of a grown-up screams, I must do everything for myself. And that may work okay in your life, but that does not work in the family of God. Apart from me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. You can do nothing apart from me. Or think about it this way. I found this fascinating. Psychologists tell us that the average four-year-old laughs, not just ha, 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 one, two, three, but full-on moments of belly laughter 300 times a day. 300 times a day. Guess how many times a day the average 40-year-old laughs? Four. Where did all the joy go, adults? Where did it go? I mean, no wonder Jesus loves to be surrounded by children. It's because they're full of infectious life giving joy. And I just want you to wonder, do you think that there's any correlation between laugh your head off joy and being dependent on someone that you know will take care of everything that you need? There has to be, right? This adult heart that screams, I must do everything for myself, is replacing joy, suddenly there's so much less room for real joy. Or think about it this way. Think about the curiosity of a child. One expert measured that children ask roughly 125 questions per day. My wife says that's a low number. 125 questions a day. Guess how many questions the average adult asks per day? Not like, hey, how are you? But I want to know this. How can I understand this more? Guess how many? Six questions a day. What happened to us adults? Is all the wonder in our lives gone? Or are we too embarrassed to ask when we don't know something? Because a child's heart is full of curiosity and wonder. We were born to explore and to adventure and to discover. We have an innate curiosity about what is out there. What is out there? And guess where that journey leads? It doesn't lead to a what. It leads to a who. It leads to God. When we let children loose to explore and discover, it leads to God, the one who is at the center of their exploration, at the end of their adventure, the answer to all their quest. The heart of a child is looking by nature for the one who embodies fullness and life and creativity. It's beautiful. What happened to us adults? I could go on and on, give you other examples, like the way a child just instinctively trusts his hero, and adults are like, we're skeptical. Or about the way a child, especially young children, don't know how to hide shameful things. They're just themselves. My daddy sleeps on the couch most every night. Shh, you're not supposed to say that, right? But as adults, we feel these things and we hide them. And we're professional pretenders. It's really refreshing to look at a child who's just their messy selves. I'll give you one more example. Really, it's a parable of how beautiful a child's heart is. There's a man who owns a shop. One day he has this idea that he's got a pile of gold coins and he's going to set them on his windowsill outside of his shop. And he's going to put a sign there and it says, "Free, take one." And he watches and he sees adult after adult walk by his shop and read the sign and give kind of a, what's the catch here, right? What, I'm not going to be fooled by this old man, this shop owner. This has got to be a gimmick. And he's frustrated. And by the end of the day, it's time to close up shop. And he goes out and all of his coins are there. And he's just about to collect them all and put them back in when a child comes along. The child reads the sign and without hesitation takes the gold coin and walks away with it. That's what's so beautiful about a child, is that you offer a child a gift and they receive it freely. There's no cynical, hey, what's the catch here? There's no impulse to pay you for the gift or to say, no, I could never impose upon that gift. You offer a child a gift and the heart of a child says, wow, that's for me? Thank you. Amen, I say to you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Jesus knows that the heart of a child says, wow, that's for me? Thank you. Whereas the heart of an adult says, wait, what's the catch here? I'm not so sure about this. Or the heart of the adult reaches in and tries to pay for it with our money or resources, or in the case of salvation, which is the gift, with our good works or our worthiness. Jesus is saying, here's the gift. It's salvation. It's everlasting life. It is the kingdom of God. You don't deserve it. You can't earn it. You cannot pay it back. Jesus extends salvation to you this morning, and all you have to do is just receive it. Wow. This is for me? Thank you. Receive it with the heart of a child. To grow up as a Christian, you have to grow down into a child. It's a better, more healthy version of this idea of rejuvenating. We're not escaping from the demands of adulthood. We're resting in the arms of Jesus, in the provision of Jesus, who loves us and cares for us and proved his love and his care for us by going to the cross on our behalf. Don't miss how Jesus finishes this short little passage. Verse 16, "And he," Jesus, "took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them." You can picture the long line of parents and older siblings, and the first one gets to Jesus after Jesus has moved the disciples out of the way. And Jesus does what? He smiles at the child and takes the child in his arms. And I envision the child just melts into his chest or onto his shoulder because that child is with their maker. Jesus, with his other hand, puts it on the child's head and gives a prayer of blessing over the child. He gives the child back to the mother, the father, the sibling, and he does the same with the next, and the same with the next, and the same with the next, and the same with the next, until there are no more children to be blessed because Jesus has blessed all of them. I've never thought about this until this week. Those children all grew up, right? And as they're growing up, they don't remember this if they really are babies and toddlers. As they're growing up, they probably wondered about this experience. "Mom, tell me again about the time you took me to Jesus." "Well, after we got the disciples out of the way, sweetie, he looked at you and he treasured you. And he took you into his arms and you just melted into him. And he put his hand on your head and he blessed you. May the Lord be gracious toward you, little one. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious toward you and give you peace." "And then what, Mom?" "Well, then we left and you didn't see him again. But you will one day, because he went to the cross. He went to the cross for you, little one, so that God's face would shine on you, so that God would be gracious to you, so that God would give you his peace forever and ever." "Wow, that's for me? Thank you." In the arms of Jesus, church, like a dependent child, like a needy child, that's where we need to be. That's the gift that's offered you today. No grown-ups allowed, just messy, undeserving, needy children like you and me, whom Jesus loves. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Can I get an amen? Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this tender picture. Thank you that you turn our world upside down and our systems of power and importance, and you show love to the least of these. Thank you, Jesus, that when we're really honest with ourselves, that's us. We are the least of these. We're undeserving. We're needy. We're totally a mess, Jesus. And so we come to you. We long to be with you. We long to experience life with you, eternity with you, blessing from you. So give us your peace in this relationship of utter dependence. Apart from you, Jesus, we can do nothing. So take care of us.
Welcome to the podcast of the United Church of Bogota. We are a Bible-based church ministering to the English-speaking community in Bogota, Colombia. We invite you to join our diverse fellowship as we encounter God in worship and experience the impact of His grace on every part of our lives and in our world. To learn more, please visit our website at ucbogota.org.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you would like more information or would like to support the ministry of UCB, please visit our website at ucbogota.org.